Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.
Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustling souls. How are you today? I hope this podcast, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, finds you with an open heart. Yeah, that's it, right? Just to move through life with your heart open. And that is a freaking journey, I know, to do. It's actually been one of my biggest journeys. I don't know if you all know this, but my word for 2025 is the word love. And it wasn't until my dog passed away in December of 24, and I went through this crazy grief portal, not to start this episode heavy, but I promise you, I'm gonna get back to the light. And I realized in that portal just how like actually closed my heart can be a lot of the time. And I consider myself to be a pretty loving person, a pretty open-hearted person. And I realized in that experience that there is always a level, a layer deeper that we can go when it comes to our hearts and souls. And I just have been really focusing on that word all year, the word love, and all of the shades of it, because I don't necessarily believe that being open-hearted means that you are happy all the time. It simply means that you are fully alive and that you meet all of your emotions, the dark, the light, the good, the bad, the heavy, the bright, with full availability, no judgment, just to allow what is and let yourself feel. To me, that's what it means to live from love. And speaking of being open-hearted, speaking of the possibilities that come when we live with our hearts open, my guest today and our relationship and our connection is a testament to that, because I met Lacey Newman for the first time over a year ago at the tail end of my book tour. And I was exhausted. I was kind of frankly burnt out, not mentally, emotionally burnt out, but physically burnt out from being on the road for 7 months straight promoting the light work. And I got asked to speak at a conference here in Nashville. And it was the tail end and I was so tired. And not only was I tired, I was like feeling really lonely because I had just moved to Nashville to start this new life here. And then I was gone for 7 months, barely in this town, making no time for friends, having no connection to a community, and just feeling like the new girl in town that was staring at everyone playing out on the playground while I was locked in the bus, looking out the window, driving from one place to the next. And anyway, I was feeling kind of raw when I rolled up to this conference. And it was this massive event. There were all these kind of moving parts to it. And the producers of the conference wanted me to go on their podcast. There was like a podcast situation happening downstairs in between the talks. And so I get there and the producer's like, "This is Lacey. She's going to be interviewing you." And I was like, "Hi, Lacey." She's like, "Hi, Jessica." And she'd kind of read my book, but I'd never met her before. Anyway, we drop into this podcast and I'm looking directly into this girl's eyes and I couldn't believe how safe and familiar and beautiful and instant our connection was. And we chit-chatted about my book for like 20 minutes and then we stopped the interview and I just looked at her and I was so honest. I was so open-hearted. I was so vulnerable. I just said, "I'm lonely. Can we be friends? I really would love to get to know you better." And she was like, "Yes, of course. I was thinking the same thing." And we exchanged phone numbers and we planned dinner. And it wasn't one of those like you plan dinner, like say let's hang out and then you never do. You know, we're all guilty of that. But we actually committed and met up a month later, had this beautiful 3-hour dinner where we really got to know each other. And I said to Lacey, I was like, "You know, I'm new here, and if there's any time you are invited to anything spiritual or business related or a get together of any kind like that I don't know about, will you just text me and invite me? And if I can go, I'll come. And I kind of said it in a joking way, even though I kind of meant it. And I will tell you guys that for the last year, Lacey invites me to everything. And we've become really dear friends. And I wanted to start by sharing that. Hopefully you took something away from that to really recognize the potentiality of an open heart, no matter where you are that day. You never know what's possible and what magic can unfold and friends you can make and support you can get and truly what inspiration you'll find there. Because Lacey Newman is a fucking inspiration. Because as I got to know this girl, I was like, yo, you are a boss. Lacey Newman is a real estate coach, a keynote speaker, a TV host, and a top 1% real estate team lead. She is the founder of the Herd Newman team at Compass. She hosts an Emmy-nominated and Telly Award-winning TV show, The American Dream. She launched her rapidly growing coaching program, The Elevated Agent Collective, where she's serving women in real estate across the country and building their businesses from zero to a multi-seven-figure real estate business. She's 20 years in the industry. She is truly an expert in magnetizing and attracting high-end clients, creating captivating and consistent content online that boosts her own brand and the brand of the people she coaches and leads, but has really built a business as a single mom with two kids that allows her life to thrive as much as her business. You guys know I talk a lot about what it takes to be a CEO on this podcast, what it looks like to build an asset on this podcast, how to step into your queen code, how to lead a team on this podcast. All of it, Lacey is practicing, has mastered, and is teaching herself to her own community. And whether you're in real estate or not, and I know some of you are and a lot of you are not, there are standard, tried and true principles that Lacey is going to impart today on what it looks like to be a successful female entrepreneur that you cannot miss. This whole interview, beginning to end, is gold. So buckle up, take some notes, pay attention to what this woman is dropping today. Her story is beyond impressive. And keep your heart open to what's possible when you step into your own next level and all of the big feels that are going to come up with that. And keep your heart open to women like Lacey in your life. As you evolve, as you expand, as you upgrade, you will shed friends, you will shed connections, because not everyone can ride with the new version of you, and that is okay. But the gift in that is that you make new connections with women who are riding with you in this new stage of your evolution. And to me, that fills my heart personally more than anything in life. So without further ado, here's my amazing conversation with the incredible Lacey Newman. Lacey Newman, sister, welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
It's a full circle because we met on a podcast.
A kind of podcast.
And fell in love.
Yes.
And you've been such a gift to me here in Nashville. And this is just a gift to have you on my show and tell your story and spread your gorgeous goddess wisdom to everyone listening. So this is amazing.
Thank you so much for letting me be a part of this.
Well, you're part of my life now forever, girl. And it was just obvious to have you on because you are such an amazing symbol, metaphor, living, walking embodiment of what feminine empowerment, feminine leadership, feminine success on your own terms looks like. And it's really easy to look at your life and business and beauty and joy today and be like, wow, she's really got it all figured out. But it wasn't always this story.
No. No, it wasn't always this story. I can give you the rebuttal.
Can we go into that rebuttal? Because I find that to be such a fascinating part of your story. So can we go back?
Sure.
To, I don't know, when you maybe first got married? Like, where do we want to start?
Well, honestly, I feel like it even starts farther back than that. I grew up in a small town in Georgia. I had parents who, like so many others, divorced when I was very young. And my mom is a certified badass. She, when my parents got divorced, my dad left town and my mom took over the business that they co-owned together. And it was in the automotive repair industry. And I don't know if you know this, but in the early 90s in small town Georgia, there were not a lot of women in the automotive repair industry.
Yeah.
And so she, I got to watch her overcoming the circumstances that she found herself in that were not of her creation or what she had ever planned, and then have to basically like fight this battle to find a place and really just struggle to survive in our life, our livelihood at the time. And it was so hard and there was so much pain in that, but it was also such an amazing example of what a strong female businesswoman could be.
It's incredible that that was your mom.
So yeah, she's an amazing woman. And so, but I think because of my upbringing and going through some, you know, money trauma at an early age, I was very drawn to feeling safe and secure.
All right, sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you finally ready to sync your inner rhythm and system with the wisdom of the earth and the cosmos? I am so excited to introduce you to Microflow, the cleanest, most high vibrational magic mushroom microdosing supplements on the market. I have been taking them for the last 3 years, and they have completely altered my consciousness, shape-shifted my body, expanded me into infinite abundance, and healed my nervous system. They are 100% organically grown, third-party lab-tested, Reiki-infused, and intentionally formulated by renowned root cause health expert Christy Nault, making Microflow the only microdose supplement on the market that is cycle syncing and designed to support the female nervous system. The Exude and Surrender bundle is a beautiful entry point. Rotate them with your cycle or the moon like I do. This bundle includes Exude for heart-opening, radiant, expressive energy that I love to take during my follicular and ovulation phases, and Surrender for softening, deep nourishment, and inner reconnection during my luteal and menstrual phases. These blends help you drop out of your head and into your heart and truly embody your divine feminine essence. Now, if you're looking to go a little bit deeper into ceremony, healing, and 7D consciousness, the Theta blend made with sacred blue lotus is for you. Now, there's a bonus. When you get the Theta blend, you'll get access to Christy's full ceremonial recordings with your purchase. Microdosing is the future, you guys. It isn't about getting tripped out or bypassing yourself spiritually. It's about coming home to your body, to your soul, and to your truth. I cannot recommend Microflow enough. I have dabbled with other supplements throughout my life, and nothing has truly recalibrated my entire system with feminine ease the way that Microflow has. It has truly changed my life, and I want this for you. So go to microflowhealing.com and enter code Jessica10 to get $10 off your order. That's microflowhealing.com and enter Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
And I found wonderful safety and security in my marriage at the very early young age of 25. But as things go in life, sometimes they don't turn out the way that you expect them to. And so at 34, I found myself divorced with children who at that point were 3 and 5. And I had to kind of channel that inner Diane moment and figure out how I was going to stand on my own 2 feet. And it was a very challenging, while also the most transformative, most beautiful experience of my life, because that was when I really learned how to depend and trust myself. And I really hadn't had that experience before. I was really looking to be saved by someone else.
I just want to say that's so powerful to say out loud.
Yeah.
No, really. Like, I think a lot of women can relate to that, myself included. I had a unconscious, subconscious desire myself to marry a man that would take care of me.
Right.
I denied that. It was so deeply subconscious. And then it wasn't until I didn't get a divorce, but my husband's career fell apart 1 year after we got married. And I had to dissolve all of the blocks that were making me avoid the truth that I was indeed looking for someone to rescue me financially.
Right, right.
And then I activated who I am today, and it was such a gift, even though it sucked. I want to go back to your 25 to 34-year-old years, because you married a pretty successful guy.
Very.
And you had gotten your real estate license.
Yes.
Just to kind of have something to say you did, or, you know, you had leaned into the space, but you really weren't building a business.
Right. I was your typical mom with a real estate license. I was the, you know, when I'm not playing tennis at the country club, I'll go sell a house. And it's embarrassing to say that.
So true.
But,
so
but really and truly, I was, I like to say I was duped into the real estate industry in the thought that it's going to be flexible and it's going to be fun and it's going to be easy, which are all the things that you think about what selling real estate is going to be like when there's a hot market. And so I got my license and I was like, this is going to be amazing. And then I got slapped in the face with reality. And I got licensed in 2005, which was very similar to 2021 in that it was an extraordinarily hot market. And then, of course, we all know what happened shortly after 2005. And I was like, this sucks. This is not fun. And really what it was is because, I mean, we weren't dependent on my income, thankfully. But what the situation was is that I was feeling so torn because I wanted to be a great present mom. I also wanted to have a type of business that I could be proud of. I wanted to have an identity of a successful businesswoman. And I was failing big time. When I was with my kids, I felt like a failure because I was not committed to my career that I wanted to have. It didn't look like what I wanted. And then when I was with clients, I felt bad because I wasn't being present with my children. And when I think back to that time, I reimagine myself. I go right back to the place of hiding in my own pantry. I used to hide in the pantry to take calls from clients. And my kids would be on the other side of the door crying for a snack. And I'm praying that the client on the phone can't hear my babies crying on the other side of the door. And I just felt awful all the time.
Wow.
And I just felt like I was failing at home and at work. And so in about 2012, I retired my license and said, I'm just done with this. I'm not going to do this. This is not for me.
Like, I
gave
that.
Up. Yes. I was one of the 85% of real estate agents that washed out, said, not it. This is not for me. And then, you know, lo and behold, a couple years later, not even a couple years, like 18 months later, I think that was the time that my marriage ended. And all of a sudden I was like, okay, I now have to go back into the workforce. And if there was one thing I knew, it was that I was definitely not going to sell real estate, anything but that.
Wow.
But then when I started going and interviewing for jobs, I had a master's in mass communication. I mean, I was well qualified for different positions. But when I started looking at it, I had only ever been in sales. And so, you know, when I looked at going and interviewing for a job that was a 9-to-5, that was, you know, sitting in an office and making not great money compared to what I knew the upside could be and what I knew my own potential was. And that was this really pivotal moment where I was like, do I want to take the safe route? Do I want the W-2 where I know exactly what I'm going to earn? Or am I willing to listen to that little voice in my head that is telling me, even though it's scary, even though you don't want to, even though you already failed at real estate, you know what your own potential is.
Wow.
And are you willing to trust yourself instead of the secure path?
I did not know that about your story.
Yep.
I didn't know that you went and you hunted for W-2 jobs. And
yep.
So that little voice, man, was right. because, I mean, I really want to talk about your business today. I mean, you're one of the top agents in one of the top markets in the country. You have a big team. You have a really supportive clientele that raves about you. I mean, Lacey Newman is really well known in town, and I understand why, getting to know you. But that pivotal activation, like where you said, I've got a 3 and a 5-year-old. I know my own potential. I don't want to have an upper limit. I'm going to go back into real estate. What, if we can just dig into, what did you do that made it start working so well for you?
I did the opposite of what I thought I was supposed to do and what I had done before. And, you know, one of the things that I heard very early in my real estate career was that some percentage, you know, let's say 85% of people hire the first agent that they speak to. So you better answer the phone if your phone rings. You better be on it, because the chances are, if you just have the conversation before another agent does, you get the business. And while that very well may be true, I believe that that probably is true. That's a whole other tangent I could go on about, like how people choose their real estate agent. But I believe, let's assume that that is true. The reality for me is that living in that hypervigilance, that constant level of activation, was killing me. It was making me so miserable and draining my energy. And so one of the biggest things that I did is I said, okay, I have to make a substantial steady income, but I'm not willing to let this business take me away from my children any more than the divorce was. I already was having my time divided with them. And so I committed to being a more present parent. And what I had to do was I had to set boundaries. And it turns out that, as counterintuitive as it is, setting boundaries with your real estate clients actually makes you a more professional agent who's more respected. And the more your clients respect you, the better outcomes they get, because they're more willing to listen to your advice. And so that's one of the biggest like shifts from a mindset that I made, was that rather than being this, I'm here, whatever you need, I'm going to jump, you say, you know, you say jump, I say how high. And instead, I shifted and I set some boundaries, and I started really carrying myself as the high level professional that I was. And my clients really responded to that.
Girl, that's gold. I talk about this all the time in my community. Like, the power of setting boundaries and expectations from the very beginning. We're so afraid of it. We think that it's going to make us look unkind or cold or unavailable. And really, it creates so much more respect.
It does.
And like elevation, actually,
yes,
pun intended, for you to be seen as that expert, that authority, that privilege in a way to have access to. And so, you know, your business, it's so interesting to me the way your business has evolved, because you don't just sell real estate now, you're a coaching agent.
Right.
I want to get into that. But I really feel like I'm so aligned to your work in the world in my own right, because I think being a business owner is so nuanced, and you don't just need to know how to do the craft that you do, which is sell real estate. You have to know how to set up an operation.
Yes.
Create systems, lead a team, marketing, financials. And so, because there's a lot of women that I coach and that are listening that are side hustlers, solopreneurs, and want to really step into being a financially abundant business owner.
Yes. Yes.
And so what was that shift like for you?
So that shift for me really came from fully embodying and seeing myself no longer as just a person with a real estate license, but seeing myself as the CEO of my own business. That is what I've realized I was put on this earth to do, was help other women make that mental leap themselves. Because to me, and people come into my world and they're like, I need the system, I need the system, I need the system. But the reality is you have to become the person first. It's such a moment of having to figure out, work through your own stuff to get to the place that you really believe and know in your heart that you are that person, that you are that high-level professional, that you are a CEO running a company. And then all of a sudden, the systems work themselves out.
Amen.
But if you're still living in the land of operator, if you're still living in reactive mode, if you're still in the weeds of your business and your life, I can give you all the systems that you want, but you're not going to do them. You're not going to execute them. You have to honestly, literally elevate, no pun intended, but you have to truly rise. Your identity has to rise above that.
Yes. I love that you said that. It's really the unlock. It's the core of it. It's an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the deepest inside job there is. I think being a female entrepreneur is to really hold yourself, I say, as like a queen.
Yes.
With like no ego attached to that word, but like truly the frequency of a queen of a kingdom that
right.
needs protection, needs elevation, needs guarding to stay focused on her job, which is to serve the people.
Exactly. It's a responsibility.
It is what it is. It's the highest responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so your queendom, if you will, I love that you pointed that out. This has created this amazing brokerage, and you are selling crazy houses and have this beautiful, abundant life, but it didn't end there for you. You actually took that mission. You just said, this is why I'm here on the planet, to actually help more women that don't work for you, that just work in the industry, build their businesses. And can you tell us about that?
It really started with the moment that I felt like I had more to give than just selling homes. Started with a member of my team who actually began as my babysitter in the midst of that divorce. And it was so funny because she literally was brought into my life. I didn't even hire her. I actually hired someone else to be the babysitter of my kids while I was working. And one day that girl showed up and she was like, hey, I'm going to do something else now, but I brought you my friend. And so I literally didn't even hire this person. She walked into my life and she became my right hand. She helped me with my kids. She helped me with my house. Then I was like, you're amazing and so capable and so wonderful. And I trust you so deeply. Could you help me with my business? And so then I let her in there. And then she just, she showed up as the most capable, amazing, full-hearted woman with integrity. At the time, I think she was like 24 maybe. And yeah, because I was 34, she was 24. And so she came as this just wonderful, wonderful person. But then I poured into her and helped empower her. And now she earns multiple six figures as one of the highest selling agents on my team. And we've worked together side by side for a decade.
Wow.
And that is the moment that I felt like a success.
Ah, ooh, that's good.
Like, that was it. That's my proudest professional accomplishment, is not anything I've done. It's seeing her become successful and seeing her thrive in her life. And that goes back, that goes all the way back to my upbringing and just wanting to see other women win.
Can we click into this for a second? Because, we so share a soul. The story of, what's her name?
Haley.
That you just broke down required, I think, it's like a two-sided coin.
It is.
It's the gratification that you realized you got from empowering someone else to grow. Like, I really believe that's leadership. But at the same other side of that coin is being willing to accept support.
Yes.
Like having someone come in and take care of your kids and take care of your house and help you with your groceries and help you with your business. And I think that's a block that a lot of women have. Like you said, this mental leap. I love that you said that, to see yourself as a CEO. And part of that journey requires you to truly, like, not just delegate. It's not a one-way street. It's like to actually accept people supporting you.
Yes.
And so I want to get into the coaching business, but I'd actually love for you to, if you can, demonstrate because your business grew, like your business
yes.
leapt and quantum leaped. And can you connect the dots for us as to how bringing more people in, getting yourself supported, translated to the business growth.
1,000,000%. And you're so right. That's where I see so much resistance in the women that I know, the agents and other entrepreneurs in other industries, is you have this mindset. And I hear it all the time. They're like, but what if I hire support and then I don't have enough business? And that is, and this has been my new thing. I just heard this recently. In fact, someone said this of me, that I wasn't playing to win. I was playing to not lose. And there's such a huge difference in that, in the energy that that comes from. But that's what I see, is I see women worry about, well, what if I hired somebody and then they didn't work out? Or what if I hired somebody and they didn't do everything exactly the same way I did? Or what if I hire somebody and all of a sudden I don't have as much business and then I can't pay her or I don't need her? And like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? But here's the thing, and this is so true for real estate agents, is because we build these businesses on our own as solopreneurs, we're so used to doing everything ourselves, our way, Miss Independent. I got here on my own. And that's where I see like agents get to, you know, $10, $15, $20 million in production and they can do it all by themselves. And it's like a badge of honor. Like, I'm a solo agent and I've done this all by myself. But what they don't realize is that if they would let go a little bit and allow somebody to come in and help them, they can spend more time in their own zone of genius. They can spend more time on the things that actually bring in revenue. And every new level of support that you bring in, whether that's a virtual assistant or a coach or an in-person assistant or a new teammate or a partner, every one of those things is a multiplier. It doesn't take away from your bottom line. It expands it.
It's like that 15, 20 million in production becomes 100 million in production, yes. 200 million in production.
Yes.
I mean, you're speaking to real estate, but I believe that this is synonymous, invaluable advice for female entrepreneurs.
All of them.
Across the board.
Agreed.
Every industry. And it's such a beautiful permission slip, actually, to hear you say that. And I hope everyone's taking notes. I want to talk about elevated agents, because you didn't stop with the brokerage. You're like, I'm going to go and make my Haley case study my life's work.
Right.
And so you jumped into the personal branding space, the coaching space, online membership space. Like, talk to me about that journey, actually. And then I really want to ask you about your program.
So it really was a journey, because for the longest time, I mean, somebody yesterday referred to me as an influencer and I cringe. I mean, my body just goes every time. I mean, I had such a visceral reaction to the word influencer, and that is 100% of my own making in my own head. But it's because in the early days of social media, what I was seeing was not the example that I would want to become. That's changed over time. And I know that's just my own. That's just language. And social media is no longer a thing. It is the thing. It is marketing. It personal branding, in my belief, is the best, fastest, cheapest, most effective way to reach the most amount of people in the shortest amount of time. I mean, it just is. It is the world we live in now. If you do not accept it, you will be left in the dust. But it was such a journey for me, because, I mean, I'm turning 45 next week. Like, I did not get into real estate thinking that I was going to have to be on camera.
Ever.
And so it's just, it was such a weird, uncomfortable thing. But it has become so cathartic, because in order to put yourself out there authentically online and say, this is who I am, and this is what I'm about, and these are my stories, it requires such a vulnerability and a willingness to be seen for who you are. And that was something that was extremely hard for me. I've alluded to some of my upbringing, but, you know, the Lacey Newman of today does not look anything like the Lacey LG of the past. And so I went through these transformative experiences at young ages, and I really wanted to like leave all of that behind me. I wanted to kind of erase the history, the painful parts of my past. And what I've realized is that in order to truly claim my power, in order to really show up authentically as my truest self, I had to integrate every bit of, you know, the lost version of myself as a teenager that was struggling, that dropped out of college, the girl whose dad committed suicide when I was 18, like all of these pieces of me that are so painful, they actually are the things that shaped the person that I am today. And being willing to tell my story and show up and be seen means I have to reconcile all of that. Because you can get online and you can talk about business and you can, you know, put on a front, and it's never going to be what it could be if you just show up as who you really are.
I mean, I wrote a whole book about that.
But it's so true.
But it's challenging. And I mean, it's a real journey.
Yeah, I know it is. But I think there's never a journey more worthy of taking than being yourself and doing the work.
I agree.
And then showing up in your imperfection, but integrated healing, which is a non-linear journey. There's no destination in that, to be of service to people.
Yes.
And that's really how you become magnetic and attract and connect with the people that are meant for you, because I could not agree with you more. You can get up on social all day long and talk about all the tactics and tools and how you've built a multimillion-dollar business. People are not going to see themselves in that.
Correct.
They're going to see themselves in the story of you being a single mom, of your childhood trauma, of the struggles that you took to find the strength to start your business again when you thought you couldn't. All of that is what I think makes a magnetic, powerful personal brand and grows a business.
Hey, sister, we have got to talk about one of the most powerful tools in my spiritual toolkit right now, okay? And that is Lotus Way. These are flower essences, liquid infusions of wildflowers that hold the energetic imprint of the flower's life force. And when I say that they instantly shift your state, I mean it. I've been using their elixirs, aura sprays, and essential oils every single day for over a year, and my entire nervous system has recalibrated. I am more grounded, more confident, more radiant, more effortless in magnetizing abundance with so much ease and feminine vibration. Now, you can go ahead and take their flower quiz, which is so much fun, at lotusway.com/JessicaZ and discover exactly what your system is calling for. My current faves right now, because I've used so many of them, but I'm really loving Divine Within for spiritual activation and connection to higher realms. Yep. Inner Peace to soften my edges, help with anxiety, and supports my sleep, and Expansive Presence, which has been a game changer for my confidence. Go to lotusway.com/JessicaZ or use code JessicaZ at checkout for 10% off. It's time to elevate your frequency, align with your true power, and let the flowers do their thing. Trust, sister, you're going to feel like the most feminine version of yourself.
Right, like with your people. And you have your people,
yeah,
in this beautiful Elevated Agents container.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, you mentioned this, you have these calls.
Yes.
I'm so proud of you. You're killing it. And I'll let you tell about the program, but I want you to share with my community the way you start those calls. So you have this membership where they come on, they pay you a nice chunk of change to basically get 2 hours of your time a month on these coaching calls. And you've had people in it for like over 18 months, 2 years now.
Yes. Yes. I've had some people in the program for going on two years.
Wow.
Really, since I opened the doors.
That says everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, let's open this up with how you open this up. And then I really want to dig into how you built this.
Great. So the way that we start every coaching call, which I do weekly, by the way, is with a little framework that I've created called the 7 E's of alignment. It has absolutely nothing to do with real estate. So whether you're in real estate or not, I would love to give this to you as a tool, a gift to use. But essentially, these are the 7 things. It's a 60-second check-in that you can do with yourself every week to find out if your life and your business are not in alignment. Because I believe that success in business and life starts with you. I mean, you have to. We can get all the cliches in the world. Put your oxygen mask on before you help the person next to you. You can't pour from an empty cup. All the things, but they're all true. And so this is my version of how to make sure that you actually are choosing yourself and living a life that is in alignment with your strengths and your values and your vision of what you want your freaking life to be, not what somebody else wants for you. So let's do this together. Okay, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I want you to give yourself a one for never, a two for sometimes, or a three for usually. All right, so the first E is examination. Can you say, I start each day feeling balanced and energized?
Two.
And it's a gut check also.
Yeah.
We roll through it fast. Yeah. This is not like overthink. We're not, you know, naming a new species of animal. Okay, so energy is the second one. I maintain high energy to handle everything on my plate.
Two.
Enthusiasm. I find joy in every client meeting and negotiation.
Three.
Yeah, notice there's no four always.
Yeah.
It's usually. Yeah. Just let's be real.
Yeah.
Escapism. I stay fully present and engaged no matter the task.
Three.
Enjoyment. I truly love my daily activities and interactions.
Three.
Exercise. I prioritize my health to enhance my daily performance.
Three.
And etherealism. I connect with my deeper purpose regularly.
That would be four.
I know, right? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the way that I think about this, and if you were doing this at home and following us along, if you scored a 12 or less, I call you an aspiring aligner, okay?
All right.
So you are somebody who just needs to focus on yourself, okay? Like, this is your wake-up call. This is your permission slip, sister, to focus on you, okay? Permission granted. If you are somewhere between, like, a 12 and a 17, I call you the balance builder. You would be, as my 14-year-old almost son would say, mid. Right. And that mid is where most people live their lives. OK, like kind of good, like not awesome, but like you're surviving. Right. Like you're doing well, but it could be better. And really all you need to do if you're in that place is just really sharpen your strategies. It's just getting clear. OK, if I see which of these, you know, am I scoring a three on several of them? But if I'm being honest with myself, my physical health is a one. Okay, well, we know where we need to focus our attention.
Yeah.
And if you have an 18 or above, and if you can score an 18 or above consistently, then you actually are living a life that inspires other people.
Amen. Wow.
So you've got a richness and a depth to your life experience here. And that's what, you know, that's what we're all going for at the end of the day, right?
This is masterful.
Thank you.
I'm obsessed with this.
Well, I'll send it to anybody. If anybody wants to DM me the word Jessica, I will send you. That'll be easy to remember. DM Jessica to me, and I will, it's LaceyNewman_ on Instagram, and I will just send you this little checklist, and you can have it and use it for your own daily check-in.
Incredible. So. Incredible. I'll leave all the links to that in the show notes. Thank you for doing that, Lacey. Cool. That was amazing. Like, as you're talking, I'm like, you really do embody what you teach.
I try.
And it's so amazing. I just, for anyone that's listening, I love this trajectory that you've been on, like, from the beginning with real estate, but now you've, like, dove in deep into this coaching world. And you didn't get certified in coaching. You got certified in the master's degree called Your Life.
Right.
And you can really, I didn't get certified in coaching. I've been certified in building businesses. Then I'm helping women do it in their way. But it's so rooted in everything, what I deem to be the most important, which is like the relationship with self. And anything you ever attempt to do, that's going to always be where it comes from. The success or the, I don't really believe in failure, but the success or the lessons. And it's so funny because you're, you know, this boss, like I see so much of sisterhood in you. You really show up and own it in like this really powerful, unapologetic, but deeply heart service based way. But you're also really connected and spiritual in your own right. And I think, like, just listening to that, I'm like, okay, she's got the codes. She's been awake. This is, like, really what she's here to do is to be a light worker, as I would define you. And I actually would love to just have you share about that part of you, because I think it's deeply woven into the stitching of the way you show up, but I don't think people would necessarily know that. Can we go back to like your small town in Georgia and like, or wherever?
Yes. I grew up in a small town in Georgia. We went to a Baptist church where people were baptized in the pond in my subdivision. Like, literally.
I'm just picturing that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the casserole potluck situation, the Jell-O, like you think, you imagine like
the 80s
Baptist. That's where we went to church. And at the same time, okay, my parents were both from Miami. They were both in aviation. My dad was a pilot. My mom was a flight attendant. And I was going to Baptist church on Sunday, but at the same time, my mom was playing these like meditations for me when I would go to sleep at night. And she would tell me to focus on my third eye when I was a little bitty kid. So I was getting this like, I mean, to me, it was completely normal. But now that I look back, I'm like, that was not normal in Georgia. Right. And then when my parents get divorced, I'm around 10 years old. My dad moves out west to Wyoming. And he moved around a lot. But in the beginning, he was living on this ranch in this tiny town with a population of like 40 people in Wyoming. And so in some very formative years, I spent my summers out west, like riding horses, living a life that was completely the opposite of what I was doing back home in Georgia. And my dad had, I struggled with substance abuse. He struggled with mental health issues. And it was very, very tragic. And as I said in the beginning, ultimately, he ended up taking his own life. But before that, one of the ways that he was trying to come to terms with his issues and manage his own issues was through Native American spirituality. He made friends with some Native Americans out west, and they invited him in to their spaces and their community in ways. And so I would go out and stay with my dad and be doing sweat lodge ceremonies on the banks of the Snake River. And I just had these experiences that, again, like as a child, I didn't realize how unusual that was, because I was just visiting my dad for the summer. And looking back, I'm like, wow, that really was a profound and very unique upbringing that I had. And that's one of the things that, you know, we could look at my story and go, okay, that's so tragic. That's so awful. And it is in ways. And also, if those things hadn't happened, if my parents hadn't gotten divorced, I never would have been exposed to things like that. I never would have had those life experiences. And it's funny because I'm still so very much drawn to the West and to the mountains. And that's my, you know, on my like 10-year vision board is moving out there and having creating a life once my kids are out of the house and have moved on and become adults, and creating a life out west. Like I've always felt very called by that area. It just really was something that taught me at a young age that there's no one truth. I think that the truth is beyond all of our human comprehension, and that's on purpose. And we all, people like you, open people's eyes to new truths and new ways. And I just consider myself a lifelong learner and a sponge, and just so open to all of the mysteries that are out there. And having, but that's why etherealism is the
aesthetic. Yeah.
That is the seventh part of my 7 E's of alignment, because no matter what that looks like for you, whether it's taking a yoga class, attending church on Sunday, going and walking in the woods, which is what my stepdad does all the time. Like, however you connect with the earth, however you connect with your inner self, your inner knowing, that is such a critical part of having a truly well-rounded and fulfilling human experience.
What does etherealism look like to you? What's your practice?
Honestly, for me, it's taking a cup of coffee and a journal and going and sitting outside on my back porch or out on the patio and spending 30 minutes or an hour in complete silence with my own thoughts, and just having that time to connect with myself is my greatest resource currently.
You and I are both. I do the same thing. Like my spiritual practice is journaling. Like my morning routine, if I don't get it in, it doesn't feel like the same day. What is next for you, sister?
Again, integration is my current spiritual hustle, is integration. Integrating the two parts of my business, my actual real estate team that buys and sells real estate with my coaching business that's serving agents. I hope to go on to serve non-real estate agents in the future. And really integrating those two pieces of my business, as well as integrating my life. I've got a wonderful partner, Jason. He has two kids of his own, and you know, just continuing to walk that path and allowing like the support. Like, remember how we talked in the very beginning about how hard it is for women to get support and allow ourselves to be supported. And so a lot of my own spiritual work right now is allowing myself to be supported not only in my business, but also in my personal life and my relationship. Because when you are I've been a single mom for 11 years. And so it has been what I know. It's been how I've become successful. I've created a beautiful life that I'm so proud of for myself and my two children. But I think that's my next like spiritual growth place, is really allowing myself to be supported by my partner.
I could talk to you all day. You are like such a masterclass on so many things. Your presence in my life has been such a gift. You know, I came to this town not really knowing a lot of people. We met at that podcast, non-podcast. I looked into your eyes. I was like, I just felt so seen by you. And you really have that quality of depth and really welcoming women into your heart. And I was like, Lacey, I'm new. Anytime you have anything, you know, cool that's going on, will you just invite me and let's hang out? And we like actually made dinner plans. We actually did it. We didn't just talk about it. We've made it happen pretty regularly. And every time there's ever been a thing, you're like, come to this, invite me to this. And I don't always make it because of my schedule, but you just really are one of those women. I just want to say on the cake that is here, like the icing, is that you really are a sister with a capital S. And that is rare to have the full package of success and empowerment with such a deep commitment to women. And I wanted to just say that. Thank you.
That means everything. And, you know, it's our friendship means so much to me, too. And this is a message that, you know, I want everybody who's listening to understand, is that as you reach new levels in life, you need new relationships that are on that level. And one of the painful parts of changing your position and your growth and becoming a different version of yourself is also the sadness of having to leave past relationships behind. But the excitement is also the opportunity to find new relationships that are congruent with where you are now. And it's so important to have strong female friendships that are people who really support your dreams and are moving in the same direction and speak the same language. And so I would just encourage anybody who's listening who feels isolated or sad about knowing that they're on a growth path and feeling like they're either doing it alone or that they are having to leave or they're not understood by the people that usually are their peer group. And it's a part of it. And it's also a great opportunity to forge new relationships like ours. And it's just a beautiful part of the evolution.
Preach. Thank you for adding that, saying that. It's so, so true. And we've talked about that. And here we are. So, Lacey, I could talk to you all day, like I said, but I want to just close this with a few quick fire questions that I ask everybody. Do you have a favorite spiritual book?
The Untethered Soul. That would be the favorite. I'm on a Joe Dispenza kick right now too, but it's a little too sciencey for me.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask you, do you have a favorite spiritual teacher? Is he one of them?
I would say he's one of them.
Yeah, I want to go to one of his retreats.
I do too.
But I've also heard there's like, it's called like the Dispenza Influenza. Like when you get home from one of those weeks, you like fall into depression for like 3 weeks because you've just like reached quantum states of consciousness and then you have to actually live your life.
And you have to go home and go and do the laundry. Exactly. And you're like, I don't want any of this anymore.
Exactly. I'm like debating. We'll see. Everyone raves about it, but I'm into his work too. He's great.
Do you have an angel or an ancestor or a goddess archetype deity that you personally connect to?
I don't. I need one.
I could hook you up. I've got plenty of them.
Hook me up. Yeah, we'll talk.
Yeah. Do you believe in aliens? Yes or no?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I think if you have to, you kind of have to if you're going to come on my show. No, that's not true. But that's awesome.
Oh,
you do. You believe
in them. Jason and I talk about it a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
They're coming in.
We completely think they're coming in. I think they're close. Already here.
They're already here.
Yeah.
They've been here for a while.
Yeah.
And disclosure is going to be like a thing in the next like 18 months.
That's one of the things we do is we like sit on the couch at night and talk about aliens. And then we're like, people would think we are so weird.
No, he sounds like my kind of guy. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Final question.
Lacey, what does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
What does it mean to be a co-creator of the new earth? Well, the first word that comes into my mind is honor. It's an honor to get to be a co-creator of the new earth. I, until recently, the last year or so, never considered, I would honestly tell you I am not creative. I've lived my life walking around telling people I'm not creative. And until I tapped into my true purpose, until I allowed myself to be supported, which allowed my time and energy to be freed up into what I know I'm here to do and what really fuels me, now all of a sudden, I feel like I am channeling creativity all the time. And all I want to do is create, and then my email just makes me so mad.
I love that answer. That's actually one of my favorite answers. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
You're brilliant and beautiful inside out. The work that you're doing is so important and just masterful. Like I've just the word that keeps coming to me. And I cannot wait to see where you go next. You're just beginning.
Let's go.
Let's go, sister.